Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If you come out of practice and you walk through that tunnel, you know, you're going to hear them cheer you on. So, I mean, that's a little different, you know. It's definitely having the energy within the fans, you know, especially after, you know, being out for COVID and stuff like that. You can just feel the vibe and the energy from just a whole fan base, you know. And I feel like that contributes to us playing well.
That's Bills defensive lineman Tim Settle. Good morning. Happy August 12th. Preseason action in the NFL last night. Bills to it tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Highmark Stadium. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi with you. Howard's off today. Corey Jackson is producing. And we are, a nice, cool Friday morning, 56 degrees.
I was going to say, I'm regretting not grabbing that hoodie. I'm sitting here even a little bit chilly.
It's going to go up to mid-70s today. And the weather for the next week looks great. But We have reached the overnight 50s.
Yep. So it's even going to be, I'm going to be in Ellicottville this weekend. Little bit chillier in Ellicottville than it's even going to be here. Mm-hmm. And at this house that we're staying at, there is a hot tub. Hot tub guy?
I mean, sure, in the right scenario.
It is going to be low 50s.
That's a good scenario.
That's like the perfect, it's like the perfect hot tub temperature. You might want to go like 55.
You're not like a 10 degrees outside hot tub scenario?
I don't think I've ever done that.
Oh, okay.
That's a thing, though, right? People do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. If you're talking about going to a chalet, a ski chalet, yeah, with a hot tub outside, ski and then hot tub afterwards, and when it's, you know, 20 degrees, 10 degrees outside, yeah, that's a good scenario.
Ooh, high 70s for like the next week and a half.
He says you should be able
straight sun. So,
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline checking in. Good morning, Sal.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. We're good. We're feeling the football chill. Some people don't like to talk about it as summer being over, because summer's not over. Some maybe like to more comfortably say it feels like football outside. Because this morning, you know, 50s, that starts to feel a little more like football.
Yeah, so I think, you know, once you get to this point, it's probably, it is football season. We've had some football on the last couple of days, right? Or this week. Last night you had some football. It is also the Erie County Fair this week. I think that a lot of times is the end of summer for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I think we got that going on. And as far as the weather is concerned, it definitely feels like that. The hot tub thing, yeah. So we got a hot tub about, maybe last spring. And sometimes it gets too hot where you don't go in, but then you're like, you know what? I could still kind of use that. I just want to get in there and just relax a little bit. It's not about the actual temperature of the water. You just want to relax a little bit. So I'm okay with that. Just not a lot.
One of the things, Sal, that of course signals the change is the Bills breaking camp. So camp's over and back to One Bills Drive now and practicing at the stadium in the field house. It's a strange question, maybe. I've never thought about it before. Once they come back to Buffalo, the fights stop, right? It's very rare for a fight to happen in practice, where at camp we consider it to be pretty normal.
Yeah, I think so. We don't get to watch a lot of the practice. Actually, I shouldn't say that now. I think we could still watch all of practice for a little while. I have to see exactly what the date is that we can't do that anymore. Once you get into kind of game planning and regular season mode, I don't remember anything like that ever happening from a game, from a practice I've watched, because they're not going live like that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you have a little bit of, you know, live one-on-ones or whatever, but it's not like it is at camp in the grind. But I would say, Jeremy, if they're going to go and have like a camp practice, even though it's in Orchard Park, you can still get some stuff like that, to be honest with you.
Well, before we get to wrapping all of camp and your take on the Odell Beckham stuff, there was a practice yesterday. So anything stand out from yesterday's individual practice? Don't want to gloss over it. It was, you know, Sean McDermott said they were going to have an intense practice. He announced Josh Allen would not be playing in the preseason opener, probably several other players that wouldn't play. Was it as intense as advertised?
Pretty intense. We had another fight. Had Ed Oliver and Deion Dawkins going at it. And then you had, you know, I think you would say pretty intense for a last day camp. A lot of times you get out there and you think, like we talked about, oh, they're going to get out of there early or whatever. And Sean actually even said intense, but then he said they're going to do things a little different and get out of there a little earlier than they normally do. So I think that was a message of, hey, guys, you give me a really good practice, you go really hard, and we'll get out of here a little bit earlier. And I think the mission was accomplished from that regard. The other thing that I will tell you that I noticed and I wrote about, Jamison Crowder had the play of the day for the offense, and I've been waiting for him to have a play like this, because Jamison Crowder, to me, has had a very good week ever since he's come back from his injury and not being out there, but he doesn't flash. That's not his game. He's not a flashy player. But every once in a while, he'll have a flashy play. Well, he had the flashy play. And actually, the way I described it yesterday, Shope said to me, it sounds like the same kind of play he had against the Bills a couple of years ago in Buffalo. And I would say that is very similar.
Yards
he
after catch?
The ball. Yeah, he caught the ball maybe 10 yards downfield. As he's crossing the field, he got to the sideline and just turned up field and scored. And that's the kind of play I think that makes you go, okay, guess what? Jamison Crowder's a player. Like, he's on this team. And I'm a Jamison Crowder fan. You know, I've said that as far as a football player. I think he's a really good football player. He just needs to stay healthy. And I think he could give this team everything that Cole Beasley gave them.
Yeah, his signing, Sal, you know, it's been, I don't know, I liked it when it happened. And then the money, looking at it, was not a very big commitment. I wondered why he signed so early. If he's looking for the kind of thing that, you know, you sign up, put up some numbers, maybe get a bigger deal. Maybe he wants to be on a winning team after, you know, just going from Washington to the Jets and all over the place. But it's been kind of fun to track his arc, because at the start of camp, it was, if you're not on the field, you're not available. And it seems like it pretty quickly rebounded. And if you can be as advertised in training camp, that sounds like what he is. Like the veteran that shows up and like, right. Oh, yeah, he can play now.
I agree. I think that's why they signed him, kind of be that Cole Beasley type of guy, right? Look, you could say, well, Isaiah McKenzie's your new slot guy. He's been working in. We know that he's going to have a bigger role in the offense. But they're two different players. Isaiah McKenzie still brings you much different skill set than Cole Beasley brings. I compare Jamison Crowder more to Cole Beasley. Now, I do think Jamison Crowder can still run better than Cole Beasley. He can get yards after catch better than Beasley. But what I mean is a guy who understands zones, a guy who could just sit down, be very reliable, run good routes, see the field really well, be on the same page with his quarterback, get to a spot, turn around, catch the ball. Like, that's the kind of guy I think that he can be. To me, that's not Isaiah McKenzie. Isaiah McKenzie is, we're going to find a matchup here to get him loose a little bit. So I think they have some multiple options now out of the slot, if you consider McKenzie and Crowder and what they'll be able to do. And obviously, with the injury early on and the question marks about him, I think having answered those, to me, I'm pretty close to making it five people as a lock at wide receiver right now, guys. Diggs, Davis, McKenzie, Shakir, and I think Crowder is as close as I've been so far on that.
You know, I wonder, Sal, if McKenzie does end up getting a more expanded role than he's had, which it seems to be trending that way, that's taking a guy off the field, that zone beater that you're talking about, Crowder, Beasley, it's taking that guy off the field more often than the past couple of seasons. And I wonder if Diggs' role might change at all, from being kind of the all-around, you know, could beat you at all levels of the field, with Gabriel Davis now in a full-time role, and he's been one of their more efficient downfield threats. I don't know, does it feel like Diggs' role could change a little bit to go from, like, who's the guy I want for this? Almost like a Keenan Allen-esque type spot where he's your number one receiver, but he's also the guy you're going to trust most in some of those, like, Beasley-esque situations.
Yeah, I think so too. Right? I mean, like, he is that veteran guy who knows exactly where to be, what to do. I think the best way to describe Jamison Crowder is professional receiver, right? I mean, I think that's what he is, guys. He's a professional receiver. He just does his job really well. I've been a fan of his going back to his Washington days. I think that he's always been a good player. The funny thing about Crowder is when he was a free agent back in 2019, I remember I pulled up the article I wrote about it because I remember this specifically. I said, boy, the Bills really need a slot receiver. Here are the three options. Jamison Crowder, Cole Beasley, and Adam Humphries. Those are the three guys I said they should definitely sign one of these guys. Well, obviously they signed Cole Beasley. Here we are 3 years later. They get Crowder, and Crowder is like maybe a year older than Beasley was at the time. It's kind of like they get him anyway, and even the same situation that they got when they signed Beasley.
Do you feel like Crowder, if they, to get to Beckham here, if they were to sign Beckham and he shows up in November and he's on the field, do you feel like Crowder is the guy that stands to lose the most if they do that?
That's a really good question. I don't know if anybody stands to lose the most yet. You know what I would say? It's a cop-out, but he's not going to play until November, let's say. So I think I'd have to really see the offense and how it functions before that. I would say this, though. I don't think Diggs or Davis would be losing out much. I don't think that you're going to be necessarily taking targets away from them. Sure, maybe by just pure volume that could happen, I guess, because of the math. But I don't think all of a sudden if we get to November and OBJ is on this team and he plays, I don't think that suddenly you're taking Diggs or Davis off the field a lot for him. So, yes, it's probably one of those other guys. But I don't even know how much that's going to be the case. To me, OBJ is more of a compliment and a we're going to use him, but he's not going to necessarily be one of these top guys unless we need him to be one of these top guys. Or he shows, oh, my God, he's going to force our hand to put him on the field.
How about their level of interest, Sal? Do you take Miller's comments, Von Miller's comments on the Pat McAfee show and his social media? Joe and I talked about this. Like, the social media stuff, I feel like that's one aspect of it. When he goes on the Pat McAfee show and speaks so candidly about what Beckham will bring, not would bring, but he's going to do this and he's going to do that, do you think that that represents, if nothing else, he knows the Bills to be interested? Or maybe he knows Beckham to be interested in the Bills, but that this, whatever, courtship, pursuit, I mean, Beckham's got decisions, the Bills have decisions, lots still to play out. Are you at least pretty convinced the Bills would be interested in this idea?
Not totally convinced yet. I think that's maybe where this is. Maybe it's about the Bills and their interest. I firmly believe that Odell Beckham Jr. would want to join the Bills. I don't know that, but I would think it would make sense for him. You know, he could be reunited with Von Miller, but more than anything, he'd have another chance at a Super Bowl. Now, unless he's holding out for the Rams and he doesn't want to sign with any team unless he knows for sure the Rams don't want to bring him back, maybe he wants that. But I don't see any reason why Odell Beckham Jr. would not want to join the Buffalo Bills. I still have questions on if the Buffalo Bills would want Odell Beckham Jr. to join them. So, no, I do not. I'm not firmly in the camp of I'm pretty convinced the Bills are interested. I also think, though, I'm pretty sure that because Von has tweeted this stuff out, he's put it on his Instagram, that the Bills haven't shut the door on that. You know what I mean? Like, right. I think that they may have, they probably would have gone to him and said, or at least in some way made it known that, yeah, we're not doing that if that was the case. Yeah. I don't see that. I think they're at least keeping the door open and maybe kicking the tires in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Bean spoke on July 24th, maybe, I think it was, or earlier this summer, about being in contact with free agents who were injured and rehabbing. And, Sal, this is the kind of thing, this might be what you're getting to. I don't think anybody thinks the Bills need Beckham at this point. If there were an injury to Diggs or Davis, I might elevate that to need him. And because of that, you don't want to shut the door. You want to keep the relationship open, check on him, how's he doing, make him feel like you're interested, you value him, and maybe you never get around to it. But of all the potential scenarios, there is one where they need him with an injury. And, you know, maybe nobody ever needs him, and then he tries to pick where he's going to go, and you've already established a relationship with the agent and, you know, to some degree with the player. So I think that's what you mean with Brandon B not shutting the door potentially.
Yeah, doesn't it come down to ultimately we're always looking, right? The old adage, we're always looking. We'll turn over every rock. You know, we'll do what it takes to win. We'll always try to make this team better. Doesn't that go to that? If you automatically go out and shut it down, whether privately or publicly, if you say, yeah, that's something we're interested in, doesn't that go against everything that you kind of already preach about how you're trying to build a team and win a Super Bowl? So I don't think it's in their best interest to do that. I think it's in their best interest, and they probably would, keep the door open, do their due diligence, do their reconnaissance on it. How would this look? How would this feel? What is the player like? Where's his health? Just always have those things in mind. And if you get to a point of, yeah, it just doesn't work for us, like we're not convinced about the health, whatever the reason is, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what you do on every single player. But I think you owe it to yourself. You owe it to your organization. You owe it to everything you believe in to try and win a Super Bowl to always keep that door open and look at those things.
You know, Sal, when we talk about Beckham, I think fans and us would, what's the immediate thought? You're daydreaming about a three-receiver set of Diggs, Beckham, and Gabriel Davis. And, like, that's your three. I wonder if there's also a point to be made here about the depth that he would provide you specifically at the X and Y receiver positions on the outside and where you are now with that. Because we were chatting earlier, and we've talked about this too, that if Diggs or Davis are to go down with an injury at any point this season, for how vital that position is and how much the Bills use that position, Allen throws to the outside and down the field. Like, is Jake Kumerow the next man up? Is it Marquez Stevenson? Is Shakir going to move? I wonder if there is to be an important injury out on the outside at receiver, if the replacement or the guy that they would want to rely upon is not currently on the roster, because I don't know, is Jake Kumerow ready to take on the amount of targets that position requires?
It's a great question. I want to remind everybody that, you know, with an expanded practice squad, a lot of these guys can still be in the organization. They don't have to be on the active roster. So you get two final cuts, and let's say, you know, Isaiah Hodgins isn't on the team, even if Jake Kumerow isn't, right? Maybe he gets put on the practice squad. I don't know. I'm just using these guys as examples. And all of a sudden, there's an injury in week three or week four. You can, you know, sign those guys. You can elevate them for a couple of weeks. So you do have options if that's the case. But then it goes to, well, who is that player? I still keep an eye on Isaiah Hodgins, puts him for a roster spot, Joe. I think he's had a real good week or so, more than that. I think this is the best camp he's had. I don't know what kind of special teams, you know, ability he offers them. I think he could still play. He could play special teams, but we all know how much they like Jake Kumerow in that role. So would Jake Kumerow be able to step into more of a wide receiver role with those targets?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. We know he can catch the ball, run some routes. We've seen that happen, but there's a big difference between doing it on one post pattern in Denver than doing it for, you know, 35 times a game for three, four games in a row. Who else is on this team that you could look? Well, you brought up Stevenson.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, that injury, I just don't know what's going to happen with him. With him, it could very well be a lost 2022 season if he gets put on IR before the season starts, or maybe they do what they did last year and somehow get him on the roster, then put him on IR. But that injury is obviously costing him valuable time. And right now, I just think I'm not even thinking about Marquez Stevenson being any part of what they can do in 2022 until I know that he can be, in some way, shape, or form, even activated this year.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we talk about wrapping up camp and the first preseason game, Sal. So we know no Josh Allen and would expect a lot of the ones to not be out there. Are there any players, who's on the short list of players who you think have a lot to gain? What position battle is it? Kick return, punt return, watching Matt Araiza hold for field goals. Like, for preseason game number one, what is squarely at the top of your list on things to look for?
I think the DB battle that's going on and the rise of Christian Benford, when you have a sixth-round rookie basically competing against your first-round rookie and your third-year veteran in Dane Jackson, this isn't just about Kyir Elam, although it is about Kyir Elam. It's also about Dane Jackson, and it's also about Christian Benford. Give him his credit. This is not happening because Kyir Elam just doesn't look good and can't handle it. This is because Christian Benford is pushing for that spot and has earned that. And he's out there, and he's getting reps with the first team, and he's rotating with Dane Jackson. And until one of those guys really steps up and says, this is my job, this is going to be fun to watch. And I am really excited that they all get to go against the first team Colts offense, first Colts unit. Matt Ryan throwing to Pittman and whoever. I mean, I think this is going to be a great test. It's fun to watch. Somebody needs to make a couple plays here to start kind of cementing themselves. This could be dragged out for 3 weeks. But to me, that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch.
It is a little bit of a tough... Do you think it's a tough sell at all that Elam, in a battle, is okay? I mean, he's got time, right? That's the thing about this position. If Tre'Davious White is back sooner than later, which was in Jeremy Fowler's report from yesterday on ESPN, then there's not a lot of pressure on Elam. But every day that Trey White is out and every day we get closer, it sounds like Elam is simply not ready, which, again, doesn't have to be a five-alarm fire, but is that a little bit behind schedule, do you think?
Probably fair to say. But, again, I want to see him now when he's going against teams that don't have every single rep, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis,
right,
and how he looks, right? I think that's what needs to be seen here. It always has to be held in context that this kid from day one has gone against the best Bills receivers every single rep, every single 11 on 11. Of course, he went against other guys, but you know my point. I think that has to be held in context here. It also has to be said that there's no doubt that Christian Benford is right there, nipping on his heels or right there even with him and Dane Jackson. And in that regard, you'd say, well, wait a minute, you have a kid you picked 19th overall. Shouldn't he be taking that job? I think that's fair to say. So you could definitely be a little disappointed if you're a Bills fan on why isn't he up there. But again, I want to just say he has not been awful in any regard. I do think that at times I'll look at him and go, okay, well, maybe that's a play he should have made. Should have got his hands on that ball. But he's not getting beat left and right. He's made his share of plays as well. I want to see him go against other teams. I want to see what happens here. And who knows? I mean, Christian Benford coming from Villanova, he's looked good, but does that mean he's going to continue to look the way he has in those situations too? This is a big jump going into a, you know, real live situation against another team.
And it wouldn't be for lack of preparation or lack of work. I mean, one of the things we've been told about Elam and we mm-hmm. saw from him was his commitment to his craft. Joe Marino mentioned this about an hour ago. He's one of the last guys to leave the practice field. Like, he's someone that is really committed to it right from their pre-draft meeting at the combine.
Well, I'll even give you an example, guys. I don't think he's nearly as grabby as he was early in camp. Remember, that was a big talking point. We talked about that a lot.
They put the boxing gloves on him?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, him and Stephon Diggs, and Diggs getting mad that he was holding them. Like, I haven't seen that from him, really, in a couple weeks. Maybe in a week or so. Like, it's not something, it was something I was noticing early on. It wasn't something I really noticed this week and go, man, Elam really grabbed him. You know, so I think that that part of his game has been cleaned up a bit. And that's from the learning. That's from the working on it. You know, and understanding what he can and can't do. So I think that's a really good sign that he's also doing something like that, even though he necessarily hasn't taken hold of that cornerback number one without Tre'Davious White role, if you will.
All right. Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock today. You too. What do you guys got planned for it?
We have actually, so Joe and I will be on for an hour together. Mm-hmm. And then I got to duck out. We have a production meeting for the game broadcast tomorrow. And I believe Heather Prusak is going to join Joe at 11 o'clock from WIVB Channel 4. And we are excited to say that Patrick Hammer is going to join us every Friday again this year for the season. And today's one of those days so people can talk about the game. So Joe can ask him about the weather tomorrow.
Excellent. Looks like it's going to be nice. 77, sunny.
Oh, beautiful.
By the way, Joe.
Yes.
I was in touch with Hammer. Apparently, you need to write this in your notes.
Okay.
Apparently, he went to Metallica last night, and I think he wants you to ask him about it.
Okay.
So...
He's here to tell the story, though, tomorrow, or today.
I believe so, yes. He's here to tell the story about tomorrow, but yeah, exactly, the next day. But I think he went to Metallica.
Hmm.
All right.
Is that interesting to you at all? Do you think Metallica? About going to that? Either of you?
I'll tell you what, last night I was out with a buddy, and I said, if we weren't lame right now, we would just go to Metallica.
Just go.
We would just find a way and go to Metallica right now.
Mm.
But I guess the implication there is I'm lame.
For me, yeah, I definitely would do it. I mean, I like Metallica. That's fine. I was much more interested in going to the night before, which is Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett.
Mm.
And I actually had some tickets I couldn't use, but, you know, thankfully some of my, you know, fellow headbanging friends from high school were able to use them. So that was good. I'm totally down with that. I could have gone last night. I got home last night from camp, so it was nice to see Max again and hang out, and we had some things we had to do, so I wasn't about to go to Metallica on my first night back from camp, you know what I mean? But I definitely would do it. The night before that would have been cool, too, and I heard that was a pretty cool concert as well.
All right. Stadium shows, summer transitioning into, you know, the season that comes after it that brings us football. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? 803-0550. On Beckham, we have not taken a call on it today. How do you feel about the Beckham idea insurance, dream scenario, stay away. You know, we asked Sal his thoughts on it. I tend to go a little further. I really do believe there is legitimate interest. I don't think Miller would be talking the way that he is unless he knew that there was. So is this something that would excite you, make you nervous? 803-0550 is our phone number. We'll kick it around with you on the phones. If you want to join us, we'd be more than happy to hear from you here on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.